You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
Thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone, all priests, sisters, deacons, brothers and sisters of divine will and oblates to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. So we are so, so blessed. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. And our prayer is going to be a supplication. The supplication is found in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time, and to be alive at this moment. And I'd like to take care of a little bit of business, if I may, because I'm going to forget, as I usually do. You're listening to Radio Maria, Christian voice in your home. Radio Maria is 100% listener-supported, which means that if we, the listeners, do not support Radio Maria, there is no support. So if you can, if you have the wherewithal, and you know if you do and if you don't, you can offer prayers for Radio Maria. You can offer financial support if you do have so and have the capacity to do so, because, again, God knows what we can and cannot do. You can go to radiomaria.us, or you can simply call 888-408-0201. I'd like to also make this offer that anyone calling in for any type of a pledge, whether it be a one-time donation or a very desirable monthly, a successful sequential monthly allotment, which would be great so that Radio Maria knows how much is coming in and when, we're going to send you from the School of Mary a relic card of Luisa Picanetti. It's a relic prayer card, which includes a piece of Luisa's clothing. So we'd like to offer this as an incentive, if you may. And we're offering this not only during our live presentations, but also during our encore presentations, as well as if you're listening to this program in the podcast archives. So if you're hearing this at all, just call Radio Maria at 888-408-0201 or go to radiomaria.us at any time. Just mention the relic card, the School of Mary, and we'll be happy to send that out to you. So with that being said, we are grateful to have awakened today. We're really, really blessed today again to have with us Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. Hello, Mother. Hello, sisters. I know that was a very long diatribe.
My fault. Hello.
Hello, everybody. Hello. How are you?
It's great to be together again. Yeah. You know, Mother, before we kick off, I know there's so much to talk about always, and you know, still reeling from last week's program when we're talking about how Jesus explains to us that, you know, we need to move God to give us this gift of the divine will, of course, and then we have to, in moving him, receive this gift so that we may act as a cog and be able to sort of join in God giving this disposition to all souls, past, present, and future. And the one at the front of this table, again, of course, right besides our Blessed Lord, is our Blessed Lady. Again, leading the charge here. Our Catholic Catechism, Article 507, states, quote, "At once, Virgin and Mother Mary is the symbol and the most perfect realization of the Church." End quote. And of course, we know from probably the two greatest Marianologists to live, St. Louis de Montfort and St. Maximilian Kolbe. St. Louis de Montfort stated, quote, "We can never give more honor to Jesus than when we honor his mother. And when we honor her simply and solely to honor him, all the more perfectly we go to Jesus, her son." And St. Maximilian Kolbe, I love this statement, again, giving us a little bit of a warning, shot over the bow. Quote, never be afraid of loving the Blessed Virgin too much. You can never love the Blessed Virgin more than Jesus did himself. End quote. So we can never be more Marian than our Blessed Lord. So we don't have to worry about that. Go to Our Lady. Our Lady's been disposed, given the task to dispose the children to receive this gift so great, the gift of living the divine will. She's here, again, inspired by our Blessed Mother, Radio Maria, inspired by our Blessed Mother, the School of Mary, inspired by our Blessed Mother, Mother Gabriel Marie. Hello, Mother.
Hello, hello. Yes, you know, we go to Our Lady for everything, but she's our mother, and she is the queen and mother of the divine will. I was just reading here, and this was volume 16, February 22nd, 1924. And it says, we enjoyed the joys of creation when I, eternal word, descended from heaven and took on my humanity. By possessing the fullness of my will, my beloved mother, mama, had opened currents between heaven and earth, putting everything in feast, heaven and earth. And being in feast for love of a creature so holy, the divinity made me be conceived in her virginal womb, giving her divine fecundity, so as to let me fulfill the great work of redemption. If there had not been this excelling virgin who had primacy in my will and lived a perfect life in my volition, since she lived in it as if she did not have her own will, therefore putting in circulation the joys of creation and our feasts, the eternal word would never have come upon the earth to fulfill redemption, the redemption of mankind. See then how the greatest thing, the most important, the most pleasing, that which attracts God the most, is to live in my will. And one who lives in it wins over God and makes God give out gifts so great as to astonish heaven and earth, gifts which for centuries and centuries could not be obtained. And Our Lady wants to, she's a great intercessor. She intercedes for us. All you have to do is desire to live in God's divine will, and she's there to intercede for you, to receive all these gifts God wants to give you. You know, and Louisa asked our Lord once, she said, why didn't you give these writings to Our Lady so that she can give them to the world? He said, well, no one could feel that they could follow Our Lady because she was conceived without original sin. She says, what about you? He said, well, with me, I was divinity. I was, you know, God and man, and they would feel that they couldn't follow me. So I had to choose someone on earth. And so he chose Louisa. He says, now, having chosen a creature who apparently has no great disparity from others, they will take courage, finding the teachings, the way, and knowing the great good contained in the living in my will, they will make it their own. And this way, the pure joys of creation and our innocent amusements will no longer be broken on the face of the earth, though there should be but one for each generation to live in our will. It will always be a feast for us, and during feasts there is always a greater display, and one is more generous in giving. Oh, how many goods will they obtain on earth while their creator plays on its surface. So God just gets delighted even if one person on earth is living fully in his divine will. Now, he wants us all to live in his divine will. He wants to give us the gift more than we desire the gift. But all of heaven takes such delight and have a great feast when they see you just doing one act or one round in divine will. They're looking, it's like they're looking over the gates of heaven, looking down at earth, and they all get excited and celebrate up in heaven when they see someone doing an act or round in divine will. He says, therefore, my dear daughter, be attentive to my teachings, because it is about letting me establish a law, not terrestrial, not celestial, but a law of mere sanctity, but a divine law, not a law of mere sanctity, but a divine law, a law which will no longer allow distinction between terrestrial and celestial citizens, a law of love, a law which will destroy everything that can prevent even a shadow on the union between the creature and her creator, and will put all his goods in common, removing from her all weaknesses and miseries of original sin. The law of my will put so much strength in the soul that it will serve as sweet enchantment in such a way as to put to sleep the evils of nature and substitute them with the sweet enchantment of the divine goods. So as we live more and more in his divine will, as we read these writings and we understand and really believe these truths, you know, if you have faith, you can move a mountain. If you have faith like a mustard seed, if you have faith in what God is telling Louisa throughout these volumes, it will do great things in your soul. And you will do these great acts, which will be acts of God within you. Just desiring him to do these acts within you, he does it. He's just waiting for you to ask. He's a gentleman. He won't come until you invite him, you know. And just loving him for all of his creation. The divine will is everywhere. I talked to a priest the other day in Rome. We had to pick up another aspirant who just became a postulant. And it was Jose Acuña's son, whose father, Bernardo Acuña, Jose Acuña was in New Mexico City. He translated all the volumes into Spanish. And he had us for dinner after Mass. It was Father Elijah and I there. And I asked him, I said, now, how do you live in the divine will? He said, well, the divine will is the present moment. Everything happening at the present moment. When he was a little boy, I asked him about the fact that I had read that Jose Acuña had seven children, I think, and they memorized volume 7 and 8 when they were children. He said, yes, we used to have a contest to see who was going to memorize the quickest, you know. But he says, you know, the divine will is everywhere. The divine will is before you, around you, in you, within everybody around you, in the present moment. It's like they call it the sacrament of the present moment. Whatever's happening to you at the present moment is God's will, either his permitting or his ordaining will. We don't have to worry what we're doing, whether it's right or wrong. It's God allowing in your life whatever's happening to accept it with resignation and joy and peace, and you are living in his divine will. You're accepting everything, realizing he's allowing these things to bring a greater good in your life, and he's experiencing these things within you, whether it's a cross or it's a delight, it's a good thing or a bad thing. God is experiencing it with you. He goes on to say, remember how many times you saw me write in the depth of your soul. He was talking to Louisa here. It was the new day of the living in my will. First I delighted in writing it in order to expand your capacity. Then I took the attitude of a master in order to explain it to you. How many times have you not seen me taciturn and pensive in the depth of your soul? It was the great crafting of my will that I was forming in you. And seeing me not speak, you lamented that I no longer loved you. Ah, it was exactly then that pouring out upon you my will enlarged your capacity, confirmed you in it, and I loved you the most. Therefore, do not want to investigate anything of what I do, but rest, sure, always in my will. So either suffering the cross that she had to experience and thinking God didn't love her anymore, because he wasn't there, she didn't see him, she didn't feel him, he wasn't speaking to her, was the cross that was expanding room in her soul for him to grow, the divine will to grow in her. So, you know, we have to just realize that the law that he was writing in her heart, he had to write it in her heart first before she could write it down on paper. And now we have the great gift. We have these books, this great gift from God, that we have to be so happy to be alive in this time in history when we have these volumes and we can really truly live in his divine will. So realize that just like Louisa, he wants to write his laws in your heart. Ponder these truths and they will be written in your heart for all eternity.
Amen. You know, when he says that, don't investigate. It's so true. Don't investigate. Don't challenge me. Don't believe this not to be true. Trust me. Have faith in me. Have confidence in me. And all the things that, you know, really predicate the definition of faith. It's so interesting. You know, Mother, also, you know, you mentioned about Louisa, you know, being chosen, selected by God out of all souls, past, present, and future, to be the humblest, the smallest, and the humblest, basically. And I think that's a direct call to all of us also. You know, we're not anyone's in the world from the world's perspective. And therefore, this gift is available to anyone and everyone. In fact, he goes on to say in volume 12, January 29th, 1919, this is our blessed Lord Jesus speaking, quote, then from your link of connection with me, Louisa, the links of other souls shall be connected. And I shall have a cohort of souls who, living in my volition, shall redo all the acts of the creatures. I shall receive the glory of the many suspended acts done only by me, also from the creatures, and these from all classes, virgins, priests, lay people, all according to their office. They shall no longer operate humanly, but rather as they penetrate into my divine will, their acts shall multiply for all in a way which is fully divine. End quote. So this is beyond our comprehension. This is a whole different paradigm shift. This is not being holy. This is way beyond holiness. This is divinity being given to us as articulated in the gospel by St. Peter. We are living in tremendous times. There's no such thing as a bad day anymore, Mother. I have to think.
Every day is Christmas in divine will.
You know. It really is. Volume 16, December 26th. Every day is Christmas when journeying in the divine will. Amen.
Yeah. Thank you, Mother, God just wants us, you know, he wants us to have this gift. And, you know, we have to do something about it, that we have to want it. We have to open our hearts to it, but realize we do nothing. God does it. Yes, we have to open our hearts to it, but realize that he's the only reason why it's divine is because he's doing it in us. We can't do a divine act. Right. We're human. We can't do a divine act. We are not, and the more you do that, the more you shrink, the more you die to yourself, the smaller you get, and the bigger he gets in you, because you are allowing him to relive his life in you. And he loves us so much, he's wanting to do that. He just wants to relive his life in us. He says we become like little gods. He wants us to make, he says, be perfect like my Father is perfect. Well, he wouldn't tell us to do something impossible. So it's possible to become perfect in this life.
That's right. And we also learned, Mother, last week from volume 23, November 27th, when Jesus told us the most necessary thing in order to obtain this great gift of the divine will is to move God. To move God in love, to show him our love, our faith, our compassion, our trust in him. How did the old woman in the scriptures move God when she gave two pence, when others gave multiples of more money than she did? God was moved because she gave, although a little bit of money, was everything she had. She moved God by doing very little. We can do the same, but we need to move God, and we're going to move it right now.
Doesn't take big acts. You can just pick up a piece of paper on the ground and just to clean the streets and say, Jesus, come pick this paper up in me. And that can be a greater act than somebody who did something really hard and important in the church if they didn't do it and allow him to do it within them by, you know, letting him do his divine will in them. So, you know, it's not the big things. It's the little things that tickles God pink when you call him into that activity.
Right. It makes sense, too, because the little things, we're surrounded with little things all day long. The big things don't come to us that often. Right, Sister Magdalena?
¿Cómo está? Yeah, definitely. Okay, Lambert, salamat. Anyways, you know, I'm so glad you mentioned the topic about last week, Peter, because that's still constantly in my mind, moving God.
Yeah, me too.
And I think a lot about it and praying to God. And, you know, Mother's reading earlier with the sharing, I was like, I found a really good passage that would connect that. But, you know, as I was trying to imagine, what is it exactly, divine will? Why is it so different than anything else in the world? Why is it more than just holiness? Because it is holiness itself. And I have this, you know how we talked about last time about using imagination, that God gives us this gift of imagination sometimes to help me understand, help us understand. And apparently that's what God's using for me. I don't know what everybody else, but God uses a lot of my imaginations to help me understand. And one thing, because I asked the Lord, what is exactly, why is it so beautiful? And I think about a diamond, you know, with so many facets. And this diamond, it represents a divine will, or we call it love. And we can look at it from different facets, and God explains it to us through these 36 volumes from a different angle. And sometimes God explains to us the divine will through faith, through love, through suffering, through patience, through peace, all different facets, but it all comes to one thing, divine will, divine love. And so I was just thinking that to myself, and today I was praying and I was putting into action what I learned, you know, because we learn this, the divine will, we're given this gift of knowledge, but then we still have to apply this to ourselves, right? We still have to put our, I love you, I adore you. And I was doing that in the Adoration Chapel and infusing myself in prayer on all the souls, past, present, and future. And I was saying, Lord, you know, for these people, I put my love you. And then all of a sudden, my imagination came to me like I saw fireworks, you know, like fireworks. I'm like, what does it mean? And I realized that these were the little I love yous that I put in divine will for these souls. And Mother mentioned earlier about the joys of heaven. When we do our divine will, you know, that the joys in heaven. And I thought, wow, that was what I did. How much more God? And then I thought about the Big Bang. The Big Bang. So that is the Big Bang is love, God's love for us. So in a way, the Big Bang theory is not bad if we put it into the right perspective. That is God's love for us. So I will read a short passage here for June 25, 1899, chapter 2, which I believe a little bit continuation of what Mother shared earlier. And this talks about faith, because Mother mentioned about if we only have the faith like Louisa's faith. So Jesus told Louisa, I want faith to inundate you everywhere, just like those boats inundated with the waters of the sea. And since I myself am faith, you would be inundated with me, who possesses everything, can do everything, and gives freely to those who trust in me. And without your thinking of what will come, or when it will, or of how you will do it, I myself will be there to assist you according to your needs. So this is what you mentioned earlier, Peter. It's not that we are doing it on our own. It's not even investigating. We don't need to investigate because God is doing it himself. And then he continued. Then he added, if you exercise yourself in this faith, almost swimming in it, as recompense, I will infuse three spiritual joys in your heart. First, you will penetrate the things of God with clarity. And in doing holy things, you will feel inundated with such gladness, with such joy as to feel as though soaked with it. This is the unction of my grace. Second, you will feel boredom for earthly things, and you will feel joy in your heart for celestial things. Third, total detachment from everything, and there you felt inclination of the past, you will feel bother. This I have been infusing in your heart for some time, and you are already experiencing it. And I look at these things, you know, like Mother mentioned, even doing little things out of acts of love, out of God's love, doing little things, unnoticeable things. These were the things that God tells us here. He said that he will infuse joys. So even though, you know, maybe a little bit of suffering, a little bit of pains, aches in here, if we do this out of love for God, we can experience joy in that. But this is what he promised to us. You see, he said he will give us such joy. And also we will find boredom on earthly things. I thought about my past life, you know, all the things that I did. But I said, if we don't put it in order, then it becomes boring. But if I'm going horseback riding, I go, you know, cooking, if I put it in the right order, then all these things that we do on earth, maybe typing or what we consider earthly, if you put it in the right perspective where God is first, then it's not boring. So it's all in the matter of doing everything in divine will that becomes divinized and is no longer boring. And all the things that we consider boring is no longer bothersome. Everything becomes beautiful. Everything becomes joyful. And nothing will bother us anymore. So like Mother mentioned all the time, doing acts and rounds in divine will for love of God, everything will be okay. We don't even have to worry about it. And mentioned Peter last time, the safest refuge is the divine will, is in the heart of Blessed Mother, because she is also our refuge.
That's so true. You know, we talk about the refuge. You say, volume 35, Jesus says, see then, in one who lives in our will, we, the triune God, find our refuge for our life in the soul. So it's the other way around. It's not us searching for a refuge. It's us allowing the Trinity to become refuge in us. It's so beautiful. You know, Sister, you were also mentioning about the transmutation and how Jesus says he's going to change our palate. So those, let's say, using a food analogy, those unhealthy things that we loved in our lives, he's going to now allow us to detest, like the cupcakes and the cakes and all the ice creams. And now we're going to love and loathe for spinach and for vegetables. So he's going to change our palate, he says that, so that our wants and desires, he's going to make it easy for us. So we're not constantly fighting our will. See, that's what the saints had that difficulty in their lives. You know, they did the will of God during the day, and then they were tormented at night. God says, no, there will be no torment. This is going to be a 24-hour, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It's going to be always this perennial. It's peace, it's happiness, it's let heaven come upon earth. It's the fulfillment of the Our Father. We forget that. We forget that. And we also forget sometimes that we're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in our home. You're listening to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. And I'm going to leave us into the break with volume 12, January 24th, 1921. Jesus states and tells us, so the third fiat will be, it shall germinate within you, Louisa. The ear of grain shall be formed. Only the priest first shall have knowledge of it. St. Hannibal had knowledge of it. Then a few souls, and then it'll spread. We're, I believe, those few souls. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to God's other side. Finally.
Keep
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Larry from Radio Maria. Welcome back, everyone. You know, Sister Magdalena was just, she hit on a really important topic also that opens up a whole different plethora of information. Talked about passive and active imagination. See, throughout the whole entire divine will, once we're given the mystical gift of knowledge of this gift, God waits for us to take the first step, to show our desire. And when we do that, again, through our active imagination, we go as far as we can, through meditation, typically speaking. But then our meditation is finite. So when we get to the end of that, we need to then adopt a passive imagination, as Jesus speaks about, that allows God's, in essence, imagination to take over, to go to levels way beyond our capacity. And this active and passive imagination, it's found in the articles of St. John of the Cross, as well as embedded in Vatican II. Again, to know more about this active and passive. But, you know, God, through the grace, will allow this sort of mechanism to sort of flow evenly and without our intervention most times. Again, as long as we have that faith, as long as we move God, God is going to move us where we need to be. Back to you, Mother, sisters.
Hello.
Hello, sister.
Mother just said that, you know, every moment is the God's will. And, you know, really, we should be the continuous adorer of the sacrament of the present moment. And Jesus also said that the divine will is manifested in all the creatures. And one time, Luisa, she asked, you know, like she was complaining to Jesus, I cannot go to adoration. There's no benediction for me. And because she couldn't go to church. And then Jesus immediately told Luisa, you know, daughter, that you don't need adoration, because for those who live in the divine will, my will is in every creature, which is greater and which is continuous manifestation. But then it could, you know, be concluded in a wrong way. Maybe we could interpret that we don't need to go to confession, we don't need to go to church, we don't need adoration because we live in the divine will. But that's wrong. We gotta consider her like special situation. She was bedridden, and that's how she was fulfilling the will of God. So that was God's will for her to at the present moment. So, because we are doing the divine will, it doesn't mean that, you know, we don't need to go to church, we don't need adoration, because adoration, benediction, you know, the will of God's manifestation, it's all God's gift. So we gotta, he's not denying his real presence in the Blessed Sacrament, but he's only explaining more that his will is in every creature, which is so, so great and awesome. And today I like to share a little passage. I don't know which volume this is from. So the Lord said to Luisa, if I start talking about my will to somebody, that means I'm already giving my gift of my divine will to that person, because my saying, my talking about this is already, it's already giving, because my word is eternal life. My word is not like your word. If I say something, I'm truly giving it to the person in reality, what I'm saying. And the rest depends on the person who listens to me, to their response. So then we can ask, you know, in order to adore continuously the will of God, so do we have to enter it into the divine will? Is it only possible when we possess the divine will? And of course we have to enter it into the divine will. And but it doesn't mean that we have to be like Luisa. Like nobody, like not everybody has to be like Luisa in order to live in the divine will. We can start it as we thank God, as we give glory and praise to God, to the will of God, and we continue to grow. And, you know, we can ask that then what is absolutely necessary to be Christian? We just gotta believe in Jesus and accept Jesus as a Christ, and then we have to be baptized. So when we know Jesus, when we accept Jesus, and when we get baptized, then we become Christian. So, but then not because we get baptized, it doesn't mean that we immediately become saints like Padre Pio or Mother Teresa of Calcutta. It's just the beginning. And then receiving the divine will is the same thing. And then when we listen, when we hear this great news about the divine will, and when we invite Jesus to come and do in our acts, and then when we say to Jesus that fiat, that I want, I desire it, and then Jesus starts the work in us. So we are, when we want it, we are living in the divine will. And then as just throughout the life, we continue to grow, and then we just gotta keep practicing it, put it into our in our daily life, what we learn in the divine will. And it's already given, because it's a gift. It's not something that we can obtain it by merits, but it's God's gift. And then it's just like, in another passage, Jesus said that you are entering in the divine will as if you are entering to a kingdom. And of course, in the kingdom, there are many rooms and there are many levels. And when we do the rounds, we can go into small little rooms and then discover more about the kingdom. If we do everything we can do on our parts, and then the rest, God will take care of it. So what we have to say is that, yes, you know, give him our fiat that we want to live in the divine will. And yesterday was the Feast of Conversion of St. Paul. And he said that, he didn't say that I have already reached the destination, but he only said that I am continuing, I keep running just towards the destination. And with that same attitude, we should live in the divine will. We got to have the trust and faith in God that we are truly want to, and then that we are living in the divine will when we desire it. Thank you.
Yeah, he does miracles. You know, we go back to St. Paul yesterday, and St. Paul, history teaches us, was present and apparently influential at the first martyrdom, with the stoning of St. Stephen. So again, from the worst to the best. So God can move mountains, and no, it doesn't matter what we've done in the past. God says, "I'm going to forget that, forgive you for that," through the sacrament of reconciliation, of course, and through the divine will. So we need to focus on today. Father John Olin Brown had a great statement. He's about missing that opportunity of what's in front of us right now. He says, "Today is crucified between two thieves, yesterday and tomorrow." Because both of those thieves will rob us of today. But no one's going to rob us of today, right, sister? Who's next?
Yeah, so the sacrament of the present moment, like Mother was saying, and so I was just thinking that what you said of St. Paul, and also Sister Maddalena was saying before, like how people are really transformed. I think, when you get touched by God, when God kind of reveals you even slightly the order, place, and purpose for which you were created by him, I mean, I guess only a small portion of it is revealed to us now. Kind of like I remembered what it says in this book, that which awaits us, and also in the book of Revelation, like the God has like a name for each one of us that he will reveal to us in heaven. And like if we heard that name now, like we would die of joy, because it's so much beauty we would felt, like our purpose for true original purpose for which we were created by God. And then so I was reading in the volume 28, May 2nd, 1930, how the divine will always runs toward the creature to embrace her and make her happy, and it has the virtue of emptying her of all evils, the race of the I love you in the divine will. Yeah, at the beginning of this passage, it is saying like you said, Peter, there is no bad day in the divine will. Everything is like just like you're feeling more and more happiness. Maybe like not in a, in kind of a bombastic way, but like very deep, you know, like this, yeah, the true happiness. So it says, this happiness carries with itself the emptying of all evils, and it fills the creature with invincible strength in such a way that with all truths she can say, I can do anything, I can reach anything, because I feel transmuted into the divine will that has banished weaknesses, miseries, passions away from me. My very will, made happy by its happiness, wants to drink in large gulps its divine happiness, and does not want to have anything more to do with living but of divine will. Unhappinesses, bitternesses, weaknesses, passions do not enter into my will, but remain outside of it. Its balsamic air sweetens and fortifies every soul lives in it and repeats her acts in my divine volition. The more degrees of happiness, of sanctity, of strength and divine beauty she acquires, and even in the very created things, she feels the happiness of her creator that they bring to her. My divine will wants to make the creature who lives in it feel the nature of its happiness, and therefore it makes her happy in the light of the sun, in the air that she breathes, in the water that she drinks, in the food that she eats, in the flower that cheers her. In sum, in everything it makes one feel that it can give but happiness to the creature. Therefore, heaven is not far from her, but inside of her, wanting to make her happy in everything. This is just so beautiful news. Like, I mean, one could say this sounds too good to be true. And later on, Jesus tells to Louisa later on in this passage that every "I love you" she places in on anything, you know, fused in the divine will. It's not just like God sees it once, but it is a finite, like it's not a finite act, but infinite. So it's like it's in every instant repeating. Like if we place "I love you," you know, on the, I don't know, adoration of the angels and saints in heaven, that our "I love you" will be repeated on and on, like all the time. I mean, isn't that beautiful? And this also reminded me how, you know, how divine will, the more acts and rounds we do, also with our creativity, maybe even imagination, like Sister Maddalena said, like the less we think of ourselves and more just of loving God. I remember Sister Gemma, today showed us one short video of Madre Speranza, like when Bishop appeared to her and said that like the only important thing is to love God, and everything else, you know, comes second. It's not that important. So in purgatory, like we will have to fill all these voids of love. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Sister. Hi, hello, Sister. How are you?
I'm good. And you?
I'm doing very well. I'd like to just stick in a really quick two cents, so I don't want to interrupt you later. But what the sister was just talking about, you know, to summarize, you know, God has explained to us in the volumes that the greatest thing he can do for us is to allow us to know him and to know ourselves. So again, to use St. Paul as an example, since this feast was yesterday, you know, the powerful conversion of St. Paul came as a result of God's divine power revealing to St. Paul the sinfulness of his actions. So it was knowing himself which allowed Paul to convert. Again, knowing ourselves, we'll be able to, God will expose our weaknesses so that we may see what we may be blinded and do not see. Hello, Sister Gemma.
Hello, Peter. I'd like to add something of what Mother was saying before about the good of doing the acts of the divine will. And the other day I was reading on volume 29 that I don't have the book in front of me, so I'll just say what I remember. But it was saying that all the good that we do, it's light. If it's good, if this good has been done in the divine will, then we will create a lot of rays. And all this rays, they go all over the world. So they are good, not only for us, but for all the people in the world, for the people that we know and for the people that we don't know. And this race are race of praise, race of mercy, race of light, race of all the goods that we think that creates that race. But if we do an act that a good that it's not in the divine will, then it doesn't have this power to create this race and goes all over the world. It just stay there. It stops there. Then for today, I would like to read a passage from volume 4, that it's a spirit of continued prayer. And Jesus said, "What I recommended to you, it's a spirit of continuous prayer, the continuous effort of the soul to converse with me, whether with her heart or with her mind, with her mouth or even with a simple intention, renders her so beautiful in my sight that the notes of her heart harmonize with the notes of my heart. I feel so drawn to converse with this soul that I manifest to her not only the works ad extra, external, of my humanity, but I keep manifesting to her something of the works ad intra, interior, which the divinity did in my humanity. Not only this, but the beauty that a spirit of continuous prayer makes her acquire is so great that the devil is as though struck by lightning and remains frustrated in the snare he lays in order to harm this soul. Having said this, he disappeared, and I found myself inside myself." So we can do this continuous prayer with a divine will, because it literally it's impossible to stay all day and do adoration or to remember every moment whatever you do to call Jesus on do. But if you do, the divine will helps you to turn everything in a prayer. And when we remember, we have to do this to start to converse with God. Even here, he say, even if you just think of me for a second, that's already something. And it's an exercise. It doesn't come easy. It doesn't come automatically. You just say, okay, today I'm going to think about God all day long. No, we have to exercise, and at the end, I'm sure we will do it with by the grace of God. So yeah, let's all try to do this. Bye.
Yeah, but we know we can do, sister. You're right. We can't do adoration all day long because God gives us other responsibilities. But we can make sure that we're always walking or sitting or standing under the divine will umbrella, which encompasses everything and covers everything. You're right. We have to be sensible about things too. And God understands that. He's never going to ask us for more than we can physically or spiritually do, or what he wants us to do. But yeah, we have limitations now. In this life, maybe not in the next. Sister, hello.
Hello. So so as Mother was saying earlier, like when someone just picks up like a piece of trash from the street, and when they do it in the divine will, that's even greater than like someone doing something big for the church. And without doing it in the will of God. And that also goes with many other things in life, like even the simplest, littlest things we do in life out of love for God, that's so much greater than doing the big things without love in our hearts. And also our intention is really important. Like, you can do a lot of work, a lot of things, but if you don't have the pure intention, then those works don't have value in the eyes of God. But if you do even the most insignificant things in the will of God, out of love for Jesus, even if no one will notice the action we did, then that has a lot of value in the eyes of God. And that also reminds me of
Saint Teresa bless you, the little way, like doing little things out of love for God. But in the divine will, we can take that a step further and say, Jesus, come do these acts in me. So the passage that I'd like to share today, it's from September 8th, 1916, volume 11, and Jesus explains to Louisa how the acts in the divine will are the simplest acts, but because they are simple, they communicate themselves to all. So this is a part of this passage. So Jesus tells Louisa, the acts in my will are the simplest acts, but because they are simple, they communicate themselves to all. The light of the sun, because it is simple, is light of every eye, yet the sun is one. One act alone in my will, like most simple light, diffuses itself in every heart, in every work, in everyone. Yet the act is one. My very being, because it is most simple, is one single act, but an act which contains everything. It has no feet, but is the step of all. No eyes, but is the eye and the light of all. It gives light to everything, but with no effort, with no toil. Yet it gives the act of operating to all. So the soul in my will becomes simple, and together with me, she multiplies in all and does good to all. So all these acts and rounds we do in the divine will, when we're on earth, we don't see all the effects of our acts in the divine will. Like, we don't see all the supernatural goods that it diffuses for others. And I also think God doesn't allow us to see all the good and acts, all the good that comes out of all our acts done in the divine will, because God knows how puffed up with pride we would be if we really knew all the good, if we really saw all the good that our acts were doing. So I also believe that's why God kind of conceals, like, how much good effects that these acts that we do in the divine will are. So it's really important to remember, like, every time we do, like, acts and rounds in the divine will, even in insignificant little things, they don't just affect us, but they have the power to affect souls of the past, of the present, and souls of the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Jacinta. Mother, we're coming to the end. We've got about 2 minutes left. Wanted to give it to you for some final thoughts or some final...
I was just reading in volume 33 here. He says, the creature who lives in divine will sees herself strong in the love, strong in the suffering, strong in the operating. Strength is the halo of this creature. She's the invincible one before God and over herself. Her weaknesses and passions tremble before the little victor. God himself smiles and changes justice into love, into forgiveness, before the infantile strength of this creature. It is the strength of her mama, her perennial care, that renders her strong and invincible. Therefore, if you want to be victor over everything, grow in the arms of my will. It will pour itself out in you, and you will feel this palpitating life in you, and it will raise you in its likeness, and you will be its honor, its triumph, and its glory.
Amen. Mention the triumph, Mother. That's so important. Many, including Father Celso, have stated that we're really living the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It's through and with the gift of the divine will as the likeness of God returns to all creatures. And I'd like to end with, on the cusp, on the heels of the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul. St. Paul went from one of the greatest sinners to one of the greatest saints. So too has Our Lady promised that if we take refuge in her, that we shall see the triumph of her Immaculate Heart. This gift of the divine will, to be, in essence, drunk without being impaired, to be high without using drugs, it is the ultimate happiness to know God, to know ourselves, and to be happy and content with both. We really have everything we need. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Radio Maria. Thanks be to God for you, Mother Gabriel, and the Sisters of Divine Will. God bless everyone. Ciao. Hopefully, God willing, we'll see everyone next week.